Hey there, Mike.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well. I'm excited.
Why are you excited?
Because we're about to have round two of the epic battle that is Brett Kelly versus Patrick Roan.
Well, I mean, we don't, like, fight each other or anything. We just
with words. Have some...
Well, I mean, even still, it's I think it's just a difference of you know, what is important.
I distinctly remember name calling last time.
No, I think Patrick's right. Hi, this is Brett. I think that Patrick's right. It is about a difference of opinion, but it's the thing is, my opinion is right.
And the difference is,
and yours is not.
Uh huh. Yeah. Sure.
So you know.
So welcome, Brett Kelly. This is Brett Kelly, ladies and gentlemen. You
I
may
could
not
just sit by.
Know him, but you may have felt his presence from the sheer ego that entered the conversation. You know, how you doing?
I'm just fine. How are you?
Doing great, my friend. Good. Actually, we get along very well. We just spent a good 20 minutes talking about whiskey, so that's always puts us in a good mood for a robust conversation.
Right. I was actually drinking whiskey. What?
Oh, are you? No. Oh, dude.
Goodness. I wish. Man. No, I'm not.
Come on. Pass that.
Pass it to Minnesota.
Don't park on the grass, man.
Just put it in the eye of the hurricane and just go right up there.
What are those?
Oh yeah, you probably don't get them on.
I live in Southern California,
side.
Man.
Yeah, in Southern California, they don't get hurricanes.
Our natural disasters show up unannounced.
Oh man, East Coast hurricane and an earthquake in the span of a week. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
All right. So Mike wanted to have you back on. I could have cared less, but Mike right. wanted to have you back on. because Evernote actually had a pretty kind of major update recently on not just the desktop versions, but the only one we care about is the Mac one, but also on iOS too, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You want to, you know, kind of give us just a kind of brief overview of some of the kind of major things that were added, Mr. Expert Evernote Power User that thinks your app is so hot?
Look, man. Don't hate, all right? I'm here as a favor to Mike, and my patience is quickly evaporating. Okay, so...
Here, let me get you a whiskey.
That'd be great. So, a couple of the biggest points are rich text support, like the ability to, like, actually edit your notes in rich text, which is, like, bold, italics, lists, a lot of real basic, like, HTML style styles you can apply to your text.
You could do that before on the Mac version, just not on iOS.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
And now you can do it on iOS too.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Now it's not as just a caveat. Like you can't like download a web page on your Mac or like clip an entire web page as HTML on your Mac into Evernote and then open it up and edit that exact note on your iPhone. Because the standard like text control that comes with iOS with the SDK that developers use doesn't allow for styled text, so they had to basically build their own. And being able to edit just an arbitrarily complex HTML document is, I don't think anyone can do that. So I think that they had to decide, okay, so these are the features we're going to allow, we're going to support. Now, if you try to bring in a document that sort of exceeds the maximum level of complexity that our parser can understand, we're going to have to try to, you know, make it workable. So,
yeah,
you know, don't expect to be able to grab a Wikipedia page and then open it on your iPad and then start dinking around with it, because that won't work.
I mean, that may even change. I mean, because I know that through, you know, hearing through the grapevine and stuff, that mail in OS 5 has the ability to bold and italicize and stuff, which no other native iOS app has had before. So I don't know if that's an SDK, like a piece. So maybe potentially if it is, it could be something that could be looked at in the future, and it might make it a bit easier because the actual OS understands it.
I think that the way Evernote stores textual data when you're typing it into either the Mac or Windows or any of the clients is it renders it as HTML, which is a thing that Patrick and I have gone around about, which I don't think Mail will do. Maybe it may, which I suppose it could, but I think that what Evernote really wants and needs to really create like a cohesive, you know, edit it the same way everywhere kind of experience on all of its clients is going to have to be it's going to have to be HTML. So if iOS 5 does support like basic styling of text in the regular standard text control, it might prove helpful. But what do I know? I'm an idiot. Go ahead.
But just to be clear, and this is the thing, yes, we've gone round and round about, is that it's even taking, say, plain text, or in this case, you know, it's taking what could simply be a basic plain text file and could simply be an RTF file, which, well, Safari can read just fine. It doesn't have to be converted to HTML for a, say, browser to display that. But it's taking those things and it is converting them into HTML, essentially.
Well, the reason it's doing that is because it doesn't just, like, because this is one of the differences between Yojimbo and Evernote, is Yojimbo just accepts one piece of data, whether it be a text file or a typewritten text thing within the app, or a PDF or a web archive or whatever. But you aren't allowed to like arbitrarily combine a bunch of different elements inside of a single unit of storage within Yojimbo. Evernote, on the other hand, is designed to allow you to drag in a web page and then go in and drag another web page on top of it, or put a PDF in the middle of it, or delete some text from around it. Like, it wants you to be able to edit everything you put in there, other than obviously like binary files. So in order to achieve that, it has to like break things down to the lowest common denominator that will work across all the platforms where it runs. And they got a couple different options there, but HTML is the most mature, and it's the most easily understood, and any computer that is running right now can render HTML.
Yeah. It's ubiquitous.
Yeah.
Good word. And, you know, and I think that that's kind of where our, you know, where our, I don't know, struggle. that's where it comes into play, right? I understand the reasons why Evernote has made those choices and why that's an advantage for a lot of people, and I respect that. You know, on the other hand, you know, I think that, you know, has the side effect of, you know, that just happens to be beneficial to the bottom line of most corporations, which locks you into a particular silo and into a particular product.
Oh, Patrick. There you go with your hyperbole again. Locked in. I'm making air quotes right now. Locked in. Silo, which we just established, I believe, was written using HTML. Just saying.
The proprietary language
that any text editor in the world can open up and read and edit. Yeah, I'm sorry, sure. Go ahead. Locking silos, yeah, you were
no,
saying.
No. It's okay. It's all right, because we both, well, unless something's changed, please tell me this has changed, Brett. When I say select all of the items in my library and go to, say, file and export, what are my choices?
HTML and ENEX, which is an XML format.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. But HTML is one of those choices.
Right.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
It has been for, make sure. Like, versions and versions. That's not.
Has it? Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Then I missed that in a previous version back when I used it. So my bad. So we got, so you can export it out as HTML, and then you can say, bring that into your favorite text editor of choice, advanced text editor, like, say, a BBEdit or a TextMate or TextWrangler, and strip out the HTML, right?
Yeah.
Kind of leaving you with just text?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I think Brett won that round on points.
I'm just making sure. It's been a while, dude. I haven't had cause to use it because, like, I don't have to worry about all of these extra histrionics of, you know, kind of getting my things back to the way that I want them because some program took them and modified them in ways that caused me to have to go through such histrionics, right?
Well, let me translate what Patrick just said to be a little less like vitriolic. The program that didn't take things from you as much as you gave them the things that you're talking about, and it didn't wrangle them in such a way that, like, they are now irreparably and irreversibly changed. You know, it's
no, they're completely reversibly changed with some additional work on my part. Yeah.
Well, okay, but we've established, and I feel like we're like restating the same point. Is like your big hang up with Evernote is the fact that you cannot take things out exactly the way you put them in. And my answer to that is, well, if you want to have Evernote run on all the smartphones and all the computers and all the operating systems that it runs on, it simply can't do that. It's just impossible.
Understood. So, understood. And I grant that. That's not something that is important to me. Mm-hmm. What is important to me is, I'll give you a perfect example of how this was important to me. Just today, I started a new project file in Scrivener for the book I'm working on. And in Scrivener, you know, using just kind of the default blank template, you have a, you know, place for your draft of the book you're looking for, but you have this other place for research. Well, up until now, the research I've been coming across, I've been just throwing it into Yojimbo. Mm-hmm. A mixture of all sorts of things, from bookmarks to actual what are those web files called? Where it's not a bookmark, but web archive. Thank you. Web archive, RTF, you know, text, PDFs, just a whole mixture of stuff, right? And I wanted to import these into the research area in Scrivener. So what did I do? I simply took the, you know, found, I all tagged them with the same tag. So in Yojimbo, I brought up everything with that tag, selected all, drag dropped into a folder on the desktop, and then go to Scrivener and import, point it at that folder, boom, everything's there.
Yeah.
Everything's there exactly as it was in Yojimbo from, you know, the PDFs remained PDFs. The text files remained text files, and the RTFs remained RTFs. The bookmarks remained bookmarks, and the web archives remained web archives. No change whatsoever.
If Scrivener did an iPad app, which it might be the reason they haven't, like the guys, is it Literature for Latte is the company?
Yeah. Literature and Latte.
And Latte. I think that might be why they maybe haven't done an iPad companion app, is because it has those sort of features, which, you know, I believe Breton when he says it would be very difficult to have a companion app work the same way, I guess, where it could have all of them files, because it wouldn't know where it was pulling them in from, and it probably couldn't keep them in the same formats because the iOS devices don't understand them.
Well, I mean, those particular files, the iOS understands, or I should say at least, I can read any of those files in the Yojimbo iPad app. So if I can read them in the Yojimbo iPad app, then I would assume that there's nothing stopping.
But you can't edit them, so how is it showing them to you? I mean, because the Yojimbo app, you're not allowed to edit, so could it potentially just be sort of flattening everything into an image?
I don't think so, but that's a good question.
Because that's probably also why it's an uneditable database that you're presented with, Yojimbo.
Very well could be.
But there you go.
Very well could be. And you know, for these purposes, and one of the reasons why I, you know, stored these things in Yojimbo, and I'm writing my book on the iPad, is that for these research sort of things, I don't need to edit them. It is a kind of view only affair for me, and all I need to do is be able to reference them, right? So, I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, Yojimbo has its limitations, not the least of which is if you're expecting something to be updated with the for any sort of frequency, even approaching Evernote, Yojimbo is not for you because they take their sweet times releasing updates for Yojimbo, and even those updates are very, like, you know, oh, here's an update where we're adding this one feature. Enjoy. You know? So, yeah. Well, you know, that's a great update for a year. It got one feature. Great. You know, it's like, it could be, but that's also one of the things I appreciate about it, right? I appreciate the fact that it pretty much just works, and if it isn't broke, there's no one up there trying to fix it. And there's no one trying to add features that it doesn't necessarily, quote-unquote, need. You know, that if it works for you now the way that you want it to, as it does for me, then you don't have want or need for those features.
Recently, Brett, there's been some other stuff that came out of Evernote. Now, this all came at the Trunk conference.
excuse me. I think they announced, like, a lot of changes to the apps. The release, like the new iOS version and the new Mac version, came out a few days after the conference, but they mentioned them in passing there.
Including the acquisition of Sketch.
Oh, yeah, they did mention that at the conference. Sorry, I thought you meant like app features. Yes.
Yeah. Let's talk about that, because that sounds interesting.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people at Evernote use Sketch a lot, including myself. And
now, explain what Sketch is for those listeners that have no idea.
Okay, so Sketch is an app that Sketch is an app that runs on your Mac that allows you to take screenshots of various parts of your desktop, as well as like photos using your iSight camera, or you can just drag a random photo into it and lets you sort of annotate it, add some basic drawings to it, or add some text to it, resize it. It's a relatively simple image editor, but it's really cool for quickly sharing. You know, like if I'm working on some website and I can't get some CSS thing to work, I'll just grab a quick screenshot of it, upload it, and I can link to it in a few seconds and share it with, you know, the planet.
Yes, so. I remember when Sketch was released, it was quite a big hit. It was developed by a company called Plask, who make Comic Life, which a lot of Mac owners may know, because Comic Life used to be bundled with Macs.
Oh yeah, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I've used Comic Life for all sorts of weird things. I made Christmas cards with Comic Life. Smart. Right? Smart. I've made website headers with Comic Life because they have the cool way to be able to kind of manipulate text and bend it in unusual ways and stretch it in strange ways. And so it's great for like using for like creating interesting website headers or things like that. Yeah, Comic Life has some interesting outside the box usage, as I could say.
Sketch was a paid application. It's now free, right? Is that right?
That's right.
And what's the future of Sketch? Like, what has the Evernote Corporation said about what the future is?
Just that we are, well, I'm speaking as, and like I said, as just a regular guy. I'm the Evernote guy talking to you now. But they want to put it on more platforms. It's on. They released the Android version the day of the conference, which I've played with and is really cool.
Oh, I'm going to need to download that. You just reminded me.
And they're looking to bring it to other additional platforms in the future. I have no idea when, or which, but they've said that publicly.
Nice.
We would assume, I mean, you know, you haven't got to say anything. We'll assume that iOS would be great, and I'm sure that that's being looked at. I'd be very surprised if it wasn't.
As would I.
And Windows, you know, right. Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's going to be, like, tighter integration with Evernote, I would assume.
Yes. It is going to remain its own app. A lot of people were concerned about that at first, that it was going to be, they were going to roll the Sketch functionality into the Evernote clients. And as of now, from what I understand, that's not the case. They're going to continue to develop Sketch alongside.
I mean, I would have thought it would have been naturally just become part of the service. I personally don't consider that to be a bad thing because I am an Evernote user.
Well, so I think there's a lot of people, like our friend Patrick here, who like Sketch and would love to string Evernote up. But I would hate to see like the functionality of an app they really like rolled into the functionality of an app they don't necessarily like that much.
Or just an app they don't use. I mean,
And the use cases for Evernote and Sketch are pretty, I mean, there's a little bit of overlap, but not much. So, well, that's not true. I mean, there is a good amount of overlap, but you can be a hardcore Sketch user and never hear of Evernote and not use Sketch to any less of an extent.
I think for me, what's really great is Sketch was one of those apps. It was in open beta for years, and then they released it to pay on the Mac App Store, and now the Evernote Corporation have just made it free for everyone, which I think is great.
Yep.
Because it's you know, it's not an app that I'd really used for a while because I hadn't got around to buying it because I guess I didn't really use it enough to warrant purchasing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I love now that, you know, I haven't got to worry about that. And I've got the full application, you know, for free. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, well, I paid for Sketch the day it came out. I used the crap out of Sketch. So.
Yeah, what's funny, I've never really used Sketch. I've downloaded it and I've seen it and I've, like, played with it. And then I was like, I don't really have much of a use for this.
I mean, there's a few apps that it, like, sort of do the same thing or similar things, mm-hmm. like Little Snapper's one. And there's like Cloud App and Droppler and some of those newer ones that just easily screenshot and upload real quick.
Or I was just going to say, so Sketch is in, you'd put that in kind of the same realm. See, I see Sketch as like the screenshot app, and maybe I'm just misinformed, whereas I see like Droppler and Cloud App as. Just the ability to upload any, you know, thing, whether it be a file or some text or a screenshot, but it could be any picture, upload it and be able to share it with a short link easily.
No, I didn't mean to imply that like Droppler and Cloud App are like have parity with Sketch in terms of features or vice versa. Just that with all three apps, you can quickly take a screenshot and upload it to the web and share it.
Gotcha.
That's like that's Sketch. Right. I think that's Sketch's primary use case, and it's one of the primary use cases of Cloud App and Droppler.
I only use Droppler to share images, like screenshots. Yeah. I mean, I know that some people do use it to share links, but I don't really get that
sharing links. That like if you have a link, why do you need to add another layer of link to it?
When Twitter's already doing it themselves now, I don't really get it. I'm sure it makes sense for some people, but it doesn't really make so much sense for me.
Well, and don't even get me started on. Because Twitter has made some changes recently with how they're handling links. So, yeah, don't even get me started. That's a whole nother, for lack of a better term, bitch fest.
So, may I make a suggestion?
Uh-huh.
Maybe we should return to the iOS stuff, just so I can finish this list, because I'll feel
a-hole
if I don't. Yeah. All right, so... rich text editing, which we went on for a little bit about, and access to shared notebooks, which I believe just means you can read them. You won't be able to edit or add to shared notebooks currently, which if you're not Evernote users, you won't really give a crap about, but I think it's a pretty cool feature. They added a pin lock, which is similar to like when you add a pin lock to your iPhone. You have to enter in a numerical sequence before the phone will unlock. You have to do that. You can add that to Evernote now.
I think that's a great feature.
Yeah, that's a lot of people ask for that. So.
Now, is that to Evernote in general, or can you just do that with individual notes?
That is just to Evernote in general. If you want to protect certain textual bits within a note in Evernote, you can encrypt those and require a passphrase to decrypt them.
Right.
But, this is just to add an extra layer of security in case, you know,
you're letting
your
phone.
Your neighbor's kid play with your iPad or whatever. and gotcha. He happens to fire up Evernote.
Yeah.
I've just been playing around with Sketch, and it's really great on the Android. So.
Yeah, it's really nice. And they got an elephant button and everything. So iOS Evernote has search within notes. So if you have a super long ass note, you can, you know, fire up a little search and search within it, which is cool.
Yeah.
They totally redid the iPad UI, which I won't go into all the stuff they did to that, but it's really, really cool. If you use Evernote on the iPad, you should update and take a look. And Evernote marketing chatter guy. So. Sorry, I want to blow through those real quick just so I made sure that that was like possibly why I was asked to be here. So
yeah, exactly. Sure, we got to them all. It certainly was.
So
now this big conference that we keep referencing, this big Evernote conference where they were, you gave a talk there, right? Didn't you do a presentation there?
Yes. Technically, I was on stage and I made noises while people sat and looked at me.
And when you made those noises, yeah. what sorts of things might those noises have been about?
The overarching theme of my talk was Evernote power user strategies. So just sort of. And it's a little presumptuous to get up there and say that this is how I do it, so this is how you ought to do it. But it was more of just things that have worked for me and advice based on those things.
Gotcha.
If you want to become like a super Evernote badass like myself.
Right. And I imagine that at least some of these strategies are in this Evernote book you wrote, Evernote Essentials.
Is that correct? Actually, no. No, they're not.
Ooh. So they'll be in the update to Evernote Essentials that has long been rumored to appear
one Seriously, day. It's a matter of days. Like, I expect to get it so soon. I hate that I don't have it yet. But anyway, no, they're not going to be in the book either. And I'll tell you why.
Wow.
Okay. So the book is – I've tried to adjust the – marketing, quote unquote, to more clearly articulate this, but it's not really intended for like advanced users or even kind of, well, intermediate users would find value in it, but it's not meant to like make you awesome. It's just meant to get you like to where you are a workable user of this piece of software. Like, you can sit down at it and you can do your stuff. Right. Now, if you want to make it more of a lifestyle or whatever, like I sort of have, then you could do some of the stuff that I talked about in the talk.
So any plans to talk about the kind of advanced strategies in some publication or online, or maybe share video of your presentation or something like that somewhere?
Well, I'm told that they're going to, that they might, all the talks were recorded and they're going to be on the internet at some point after they get edited. I wouldn't be surprised if mine is accidentally dropped or something.
Oh, stop. Oh, no, the hard drive
with Brett's talk exploded.
We lit it on fire on accident. I'm so sorry.
And then we run over it with the Evernote elephant truck. Just to make sure we put it out.
Okay, so Jumbo, Brett. Now the left foot.
Do you have any copies anywhere of your discussion notes? And then we just need to make sure we take care of them for you too.
Yeah. I had to turn over my iPad that I read from while I was talking. They had to make sure it was clean. No, it should be up soon. And people afterwards said it was really good. So I'm being a little bit self-deprecating like I do.
Well, sir, please, if it does go up any time between now and the time this episode airs, please make sure to ping me so I can put it in the show notes.
I will. I don't expect it to, but I will.
All right.
No, I mean, like, just cool. That fast. And I mean, I expect it to show up at some point, but just not. Well, when are we airing this?
8th of September.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right. So, okay, so we're going to wrap this up, I think, now. And, we now know that basically, Evernote wins and that Yojimbo is this antiquated program that never sees any updates, that no one ever really uses.
I'm glad you finally got that.
By me. Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm comfortable with that, actually. I'll remember that when I'm in the cave. So where can people find you, young man?
Oh, boy. You can read my somewhat serious blog at nerdgap.com. And you can read my lunch pictures blog at brettkelly.org. And you can follow me on Twitter, finding links on one of those two pages. And because I won't spell it.
At InkedMN for those who don't feel like spelling it.
That's right.
Or searching for it, I should say.
And if you want to buy my book, I was told I should be a little more aggressive in telling people to buy it. If you want to buy the book, you can go to evernoteessentials.com, which will take you to the right spot.
Terrific.
And it's so
update
good.
Update coming soon, so get in now. Get in now so you're ready for those updates when they come.
That's right.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. Really appreciate you being on, Brett, as always.
I'm always honored to be here. You guys are awesome. Even though
you use that
other thing that isn't Evernote.
Well, you know, it's okay. Me and three other people are fine with that. We're comfortable. All right. Thank you very much, sir. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Yeah. And Mike, we'll chat later, eh?
You will. Cheers.
Cheers. Bye.